and you examine all sides of it. It's really what we do in Sunday school, all right? And we go through a particular book of the Bible, and we look at it from all sides, and we expose it to view. And so we're going to do that starting today with 1 Peter. And so if you can turn to the epistle 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start there. To grab your tablet, your smartphones, your Bible, and we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Yes. If you have it, say amen. Do we have it on the screen, Margot? 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read some from the Amplified, then you have your own versions, and we'll try and break this thing down today. So, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This word apostle, one who is sent forth with orders. For all intents and purposes, Peter was probably the lead apostle of those 12 that walked and talked with Jesus. Peter is mentioned in the Gospels more than anyone else other than Jesus. If you look at the Gospels, no one speaks as much as Peter does other than Jesus in the Gospels. If you will read through them, you know that Jesus rebuked Peter more than any other apostles, right? No. Peter denied Jesus more forcefully than any other apostle. Besides Jesus, Peter was the only apostle that experienced walking on the water. So Peter played a huge role. So when this letter reached the different churches, it came with a sense of importance. This came from Peter. This guy walked with Jesus. Walked with Jesus. Give me verse 2. Well, no, stay right there. Stay right there. Go back. Stay right there. We'll look at this some more. This special messenger to the elect exiles. Now, in some versions, it calls it strangers. And that word strangers actually means pilgrims. And a pilgrim is one who lives as a temporary resident in a foreign land. One who lives as a temporary resident in a foreign land. Pilgrims live in constant awareness of their true home. They understand that where they're living at right now is not their true home. All right? They are on a journey. Huh? They're on a journey. This is not their home. Peter made this statement to the church so they could remember that this present place is not their or our home. And these present conditions, listen to this, these present conditions are only temporary. Everyone say amen. These present conditions are only temporary. Hold your point right there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 18. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in fact, we'll start with verse 17. Read 17 and 18. And I read it for the Amplified. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For our momentary light distresses, this passing trouble, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. So we look not at the things which are seen. but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible or seen are temporal, which means just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. So what we face now, it's just temporary. There's this phrase I've often quoted that's in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, and the phrase goes like this, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And so these things we're going through today, and all of us are going through stuff today, it's only temporary. The pain is real, but it's only temporary. The heartache is real, but it's only temporary. And so the Apostle Peter said, listen, guys, you're just a pilgrim. You're just passing through, all right? And so even though it's difficult, we can't set up stakes in the ground because we're just passing through. Amen? This place that we live in is not our forever home. There are some here today who live in a house, but they know it's not their forever home. You take care of it. You keep it clean. You make certain upgrades, but in the back of your mind, you know it's not your forever home. You understand that. Oh, no, you know, we're not going to be here forever. You know, my wife and I, we started off living in North Vallejo, and we bought the house. Stayed there for a few years. It wasn't a forever home, right? Sometimes you have to graduate. You start off somewhere, and then you move somewhere else, right? And hopefully you keep moving up, and it's a trip because you move up. Then after you get up there, you say, dang, this is too big to be keeping clean. We're going to move back down. Huh? You may be in a home right now. You're like, dang, you wanted it. But, man, you were like, this is too big. You start mopping and sweeping. This is too much. And so you go up, and then you got to come back down. It's not your forever home. This epistle was not just written to any particular church, but to all Christians everywhere. And in verse 2, it says here, give me verse 2 back there. We were chosen. Tell your neighbor, you've been chosen. Chosen. This elect. This picked out, this chosen. I remember at the age of 12 going out for my what they call PAL football, Police Activities League, in San Francisco. And the area that I lived in, I had to go to the park called Cracker Amazon. Right? And so I'm 12, my first year. I think I got a few skills, and some people shouldn't coach. Some people have no business being the coach. And so before we even started doing any skill testing, and I'm 12, we were doing these calisthenics, right? And so we are all in this big circle doing sit-ups and push-ups. And this guy, he's the coach, who had no business coaching, he's just walking around saying, oh, you gone. We're 12. You cut, you gone. And he came to me, he said, you cut, you gone. I ain't caught a ball yet, right? I ain't ran a route. You just walked around, looked at me, and said, you cut, you gone. And I had to get back on the 28 bus, wow. Huh, and go back home with the pain. Now, let me stop right here. I'm not saying everybody should stay on the team. If you ain't got no skills, you need to be cut. But at least give the person the opportunity to show what he has or has not, right? And because I'm not for all this, everybody get a trophy. Oh, you participate, you get a trophy. No, I ain't for that. I'm not for that. And so I had to go home at the age of 12 and feeling just as low as I could be, and with the mind that I was not wanted. I was cut. We were elected. We were picked out. We were chosen. And you, maybe you're like me, and you were not picked for that particular sports team. Or maybe you weren't picked for that particular job interview. Have you ever went to a job interview and you really wanted the job and they didn't call you back? And no matter how you say it, no matter how you say, oh, it's cool, you know, it's all right, it still stings. Amen? Because you weren't chosen. You weren't picked. You weren't elected for that. And you know, and yes, it wasn't the right fit and God knew better, but it still hurt. What Peter was saying here is, listen, guys, you've been elected. You've been chosen. God chose you. He picked you. I've said this on a number of occasions, and you've grown. I'll tell you this. You know, when your mother and father got together, and your father gave your mother hundreds of little fishes swimming, right? Swimming things, amen, right? In there with a bunch of Johnnies and Bills and Odells and Marys and Sally Sue's, but you know what? You the one that made it. Amen? Out of hundreds of thousands of little things swimming up, trying to get there, you made it, Walter. You, amen? You've been picked. You've been chosen. Peter wanted you to fully understand, all right, and accept that God chose you. And you need to remember that, because when tough times come, and they will come, and when your back is up against the wall, and it will be, and when you're considering throwing in the towel in life or in ministry or whatever, please remember this: you've been chosen by God. And because you've been chosen by God, God has a plan for you. Huh? And you need to have that settled in your mind, because there are some folks who don't want you. And they're not going to choose you, right? And you're going to feel like your life has no value. But I want you to know, God chose you. He elected you. He elected you. And this foreknowledge, foreknown by God the Father, this foreknowledge is not saying that God made you get saved. He just knew what you would choose once you were presented with the gospel. He knew that you would accept the gospel. So he foreknew that when the gospel came to you, you would accept it. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, and I'm in verse 2 from the Amplified, and to be sprinkled with his blood. This sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. One of the results of being elected is sanctification. Sanctification is this consecration, this purification. Sanctification is not a denomination. It's not a type of church, all right? Sanctification is this process of being separated from the world. You're in the world, but you're being separated from the world, and it happens over a period of time. Things that you used to cling on to no longer has any interest on you anymore. I look at my own life now. What I'm about to say is not sinful, but, you know, I used to be just, I got to get out of church in time to go watch the 49ers play. Was I by myself, I wonder? I just, man, come on, man, you better close this thing up. You didn't close 3 times already. Close. I'm closing now. it's almost 1 o'clock. We got to get home to watch the 49ers play. And as I look at my life, I see God sanctifying me because the game no longer has the hold on me. Now, it was never sin, not saying that, but it no longer has the hold on me because I'm going through this process. Are you with me? And so he's sanctifying you, which means taking away things that, I don't like that on you. Have you ever had a color that didn't go well with your skin tone? And thank God someone told you that. And so certain things don't look good on you as a saint. Amen? As a saint, certain things don't look good on you. And it may not be sinful things, but does it really look good on you? So you need to shy away from those things. And so God begins to sanctify you as you allow him to begin to purify you. Again, it's not a denomination, not the type of a church. It is a process. Listen to this. Being elected is not only about going to heaven and not going to hell. It has an effect here on earth. A claim to be one of the elect, it's doubtful if there is no evidence of sanctification and obedience. I'm going to read it again. Being elected is not only about going to heaven and not going to hell. It has an effect here on earth. A claim to be one of the elect is doubtful if there is no evidence of sanctification and obedience. When there is no physical evidence, and Brother Osby made this comment, I think, some years ago, and he said, if they were to accuse you of being a Christian, being saved, would there be enough evidence to convict you of the accusation? Or would they say, oh, he ain't guilty of being that. He ain't guilty of being a Christian. No. You see, when there is no evidence, no physical evidence of sanctification and obedience as you claim to be one of his elect, then you send out this confusing message to the unsaved and unchurched onlookers of your life. Because they're peering over the fence of your life and they're looking at you. And when there's a claim to be one of his elect, and there is no evidence, no physical evidence of obedience and sanctification, the people who are unsaved are confused. And they don't understand what it means to be saved. One of my prayers for me and my wife is that we never send out this confusing message to our grandkids as what it looks like to be saved. Huh? I want my grandkids to understand what it means to be saved, what it looks like. I'm not saying that's going to guarantee them to be saved. What I'm saying is they'll understand what it means and know the difference. Are you with me? Many of you who were raised up in the church, you did not give your life to Christ at an early age. Many of you. But you understood. You understood. And of course, no one is perfect. So that's why God has sprinkled us, in verse 2, sprinkled us with the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from sin. In the Old Testament, there were three circumstances where blood was sprinkled on people. Don't go there, but you can write it down. In Exodus chapter 24, when the old covenant was established at Mount Sinai, the people were sprinkled with blood when they established the original covenant with the Israel. Another one, the Exodus chapter 29, when Aaron and his sons were ordained to be priests, they were sprinkled with blood. It meant something, that you're ordained, called to represent God. And then the third time was at the purification ceremony, when a leper had been cleansed of his leprosy. It's in Leviticus 14. You will see where that person was sprinkled with the blood of a lamb. Sprinkling of blood accomplishes three things for us as well. Number one, a covenant is formed between God and us. This covenant is God saying, listen, I ain't never going to leave you. I'm always going to be there. Nothing will separate my love from you. That's number one. Number two, we've been ordained by God to be his priest, meaning this, we are called to represent him in this place. All right? We're passing through. We're pilgrims passing through. We're growing across country, and we're driving through Nevada and Utah and Colorado and Kansas. We're passing through, and everywhere we go, we represent him. So when we stop at the Holiday Inn, right, and we go up to the counter, and it's check-in time, but the room ain't ready. We've been driving 8 hours. It's check-in time, but the room ain't ready. You got to remember, you're a priest. You represent God. How are you going to respond? And watch this. I'm not talking about cussing them out, but your facial expression, how you turn around, how you walk out, what you say and how you say it, is it representing the King? Because you've been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Huh? You've been ordained to represent him as a priest. How are you going to respond when your food comes to your table and if not what you ordered? You gonna look all indignant with your Sunday best on? Huh. Three, we've been sprinkled with blood. We've been cleansed from our sins through the work that Jesus did on the cross. Listen, guys, we've been saved. Huh? We've been saved. Oh, you don't believe it. We've been saved. Glory to God. Give me verse 3. Give me that. Give me right here. Blessed be God the Father, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter considered the salvation, his response was to praise God. The psalmist wrote this, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's what he said. All that's within me, bless his holy name, and forget not his benefits. When I think about God's goodness and all that he's done for me, huh? How can you sit and be still? Amen? We jump out of our seat when Steph Curry makes a three. Amen? You ain't getting paid not a dime. No free tickets. Amen? He ain't buying you dinner. And you jump out of your seat. Woo! 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 The pastor tells you to turn to John 3:16, and it says how God loved you and wanted to save you. And you sit there like this. Peter said, bless the Lord. My God, blessed be the God, our Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His abundant mercy, this kindness, goodwill towards the miserable. His kindness and goodwill towards the afflicted, the clemency of God in providing an offering to men, which is salvation by Christ. This mercy, you deserved. You were growing up, and what you did, you know, you deserved a whooping. Anybody here like me? You deserved a whooping. You deserved it. You know you deserved it. You thought you were getting it. Oh, man. I don't know who the heart was in your home, but in my home was Daddy. Man, wait till Daddy get home. And you got home at 3 o'clock. He got home at 5, and for 2 hours, you're sitting there, whoa, man, I'm going to get it. And Daddy get home, and somehow, watch this, Mama intercedes for you. Huh? And she says, because I know it, Green, don't whoop him. That was my mama would call my daddy, Green, don't whoop him. Huh? You deserved a whooping, right? But the Lord Jesus went to the Father, interceded on your behalf, and said, Father, don't whoop him. Don't whoop him. Don't whoop him. Whoo! But watch this. But then, not just showed mercy, but then he did this. He said, I'm going to give him something instead. You deserved a whooping, but you didn't get it. But Mama gave you an ice cream. Huh? You deserved punishment and destruction. You didn't get it. And the Lord gave you grace. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His abundant mercy. Hallelujah. My God. Listen to this. The motive for God's work of salvation was found in Him and Him alone, not in us. The motive for this work was found in Him, not in us. You see, you can't say that it was our money that motivated God to do this. Right? You couldn't say that it was your good looks. Huh? That motivated. You know, sometimes you've had enough money or good looks, people will be motivated to give you something, right? I don't go to clubs, but I've seen enough stuff go on. So don't be angry with me. There are beautiful women. They go up, they get right in. Here's a dude come. Oh. Where your ticket? What? This move by God was motivated by God and not us. It was not motivated by good looks on our part or good works. The motivation was in Him, His love for us. And that's why we've been begotten again, born again. It was that motivated God. I just love you. You deserve a whooping. You deserve punishment. I'm not going to give that to you. I will give you grace, which you do not deserve. And it's not because you did anything. I just love you. I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. You dust. You act up. You do all type of things. But you know what? I love you. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It was not motivated by us. We had nothing in us. God just chose, I'm going to love these people. Glory to God. Mothers, you have something similar. I'm watching one of my kids with their kids. And for me, I'm thinking, you need to whoop that kid. And the kids in the lab and you know, moving all around and kids, you know, they what they're doing, and they're moving around and hit the mom in the chin with their head, and what? And they just, oh, honey. We do all type of things, and God yet loves us. Amen? Gotten us again to a lively, a living hope. even when we who are saved die, the hope does not die because our Savior conquered death. This hope of eternal life does not die even when we die because our Savior conquered death. Our Savior conquered death. Give me verse 4. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for you. This inheritance, the reception of genetic qualities by transmission from parent to offspring. The inheritance, the acquisition of a possession from a past generation. You did not earn it. It's just because you're a child. Huh? You didn't earn it. My cousins, myself, we were not walking behind a mule with a plow strapped around our back, but my great-grandfather, Josh Brown, was. And the land he acquired in Louisiana, we get to enjoy it now. We didn't walk behind that one plow. Amen? No, not one plow. We didn't have to go feed one mule. No. We didn't dig not one well. We receive this because we're a child. I'm a child. I'm in the lineage of Josh Brown. And so we receive this inheritance, right? And this land does not go away. Watch this. Cars, you can receive an inheritance. They will kind of just, you know, get rusty and fall apart, right? Land is there, right? What it's saying is it's incorruptible and undefiled. It will not fade away. It does not lose its value. It does not get corrupted. It is reserved for you. Unless I do something stupid, this land will be reserved for my kids and my kids' kids. Fade away. You have an inheritance. Remember, you're just a pilgrim, right? Traveling through, right? You're on your way to somewhere. Now, it may take 60, 70, 80, 90 years to get there, but you're on your way somewhere. Don't lose sight that this is only temporary. You're going somewhere, huh? I know we gain relationships, and they're hard to deal with the separation, but we're going somewhere. We have an inheritance reserved for us. Where again? In heaven. Our inheritance is where? It's in heaven. It's in heaven. Now, you get to enjoy the benefits as you travel. You get to see, you know, different sides, the Rocky Mountains and all that, but you're going somewhere. It's been reserved for you. What's this? Give me verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Come here, Brother Wayne. And come here, Abigail. I'm going to let you hold on to this $50 bill, Brother Wayne. Hold your hand real tight. Okay. Stand next to Brother Wayne. Now, watch this. We are being kept, right? We're being kept. Okay. Who right now is keeping that $50 bill? Wayne. Are we concerned at all of losing that $50 bill to Abigail if she tried to take it from Wayne? Am I concerned? I ain't concerned. Right. Look at Wayne. Look at Abigail. Right? My $50 bill is being kept by who? Wayne. Abigail, you would probably like that $50 bill, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. But Abigail most likely is not going to get the $50 bill, right? Because Wayne is keeping it. Listen to this. Verse 5. We are kept. We are kept by the power of God. Listen to this. God has us in his hands. Am I at the least bit concerned about the enemy trying to remove me from the Father's hands? Remember, I'm not worried, right? I mean, she wants it, but Wayne's got it, right? I can, now, when we're done, I want it back. Listen. We who have faith don't worry about losing out. We're being kept. We're being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. We are being kept. Give Wayne a hand, and Abigail a hand. Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, I'm going to check it. You okay? We're being kept. We are being kept by God's power. Last verse. Go with me to verse 6. What's this? Because we understand we're just pilgrims traveling through. Because we understand that we have this inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. Because we understand that we are being kept by God's power. It says, wherein ye greatly, everyone say rejoice. Watch this. This is the reality. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. What he's saying is here, I can rejoice even though presently I'm having a tough time. I'm going through a hard time. Even in my pain, I can rejoice because I know what's reserved for me. It may not feel like I'm being kept. It may feel like my whole world is crashing around me. But when I read God's word, I can stand on his word because his word is true. And what he's telling me, he's saying this, Phil, I'm keeping you. I'm keeping you. Even though it, for a season, and remember 2 Corinthians 4:18, it's temporary. Even though for a season you're going through tough times, God is saying, I still got you. Even though the enemy is trying to struggle to try to get you with different situations and throwing things at your life, God's saying, I still got you. I'm keeping you. And because we're being kept by God, we can rejoice. There's an old mother that said this. I've said it many times. If God does not keep us, we cannot be kept. Huh? I'm so grateful that God is keeping us. I'm so grateful for his promises. I've got you in the very palm of my hand. I've made a covenant with you. I've sprinkled you with the blood of my son, the Lord Jesus. I've established a covenant with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I've got you no matter what the devil says, what you hear. I've got you in the very palm of my hand. I know you're facing pain. I know you're dealing with sickness and disease. I know that, but I got you. I got you. It's you're going through this season. The pain is real. But I got you. What I want you to do is have faith in my ability to keep you. God, I believe that you'll keep me. I don't understand, but you know what? I got faith that you'll keep me. And God is speaking to someone today to have faith that he will keep you. It's difficult. But Peter wrote this letter, and he said, listen, I want you guys to understand something. You're just pilgrims passing through. I want you to rejoice, even though for a season it seems that you're dealing with heaviness and sorrow and pain. Still rejoice because God is you're being kept by God's power. Peter said, listen, I was at first hand. I saw God's ability. God can keep you. I want you to know God can keep you. God can keep you. God can keep. He chose you. You've been chosen by God. He's sprinkled you with the blood of his son. He has established a covenant with you. He's cleansed you from sin. You are his representative. God says, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. Heavy burden. Yes. Mind going everywhere. God says, I got you. You don't know how it's going to turn out, really. You want to turn out a certain way, but man, you just, God, what's going on? God, I got you. Amen. Stand to your feet, everyone. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. And Sister Velma, why don't you make your way up here? And let me speak to anyone here today. And you do not understand. Do not understand this difficult season that you're facing. You do not understand this difficult season that you're facing. I want to pray with you. And if you could quickly, before Sister Velma comes up, quickly make your way to the altar. You do not understand the season that you're going through. It seems kind of difficult. Like, man, why am I having to deal with this and all this? I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you do not understand, you're struggling with, why am I going through this? I want to pray with you. I want to take this time, if you're willing here and willing for us to pray. You do not understand, like you're struggling. Yes, come, 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 come. You don't understand. How can I make it? Do you really have me? I want you to know God has you. God has you. God has you. He sprinkled you with blood. He's made a covenant with you that I've got you. I'm going to keep you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know you don't understand. I know you don't understand. And God's got you, my sister. You don't understand. Father, I pray for these two individuals. God, you understand clearly what's going on in their head. And the possible questions of why and what's going on. God, your words say, God, this is your word, said that you are keeping them. They are being kept by your power. And I pray, God, that you would supernaturally give them this ability to rejoice, even as they walk through difficult circumstances on their pilgrimage to that place you have created for them. God, here's my sister. You know what she's dealing with. God, you are my sister's healer. You have supernatural power to bring everything and all things to right alignment. Yes, yeah, yes, Lord. God, I pray for my sister's husband as well. God, you know what he's facing. God, you made this promise to them that you would never leave nor forsake them. And so, God, they're making a decision to trust your word and not what it looks like or feels like. And I thank you for her. God, I pray for my brother. God, tomorrow will be an extremely heavy day for him. God, he's going to need much more of your grace. I pray, God, that you would supernaturally undergird him, that you would give him the strength he needs, God, to make it one more day, that you remind him of your promises, God, that you are standing with him The enemy may try to throw certain ideas or thoughts into his mind. God, here, remember today that he too is being kept by the power of God. And he too can rejoice even in difficult times. And so I thank you, God, that these two are in the very palm of your hand. So, development, give us a closing prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a friend we have in Jesus. He took all of our sins and all of our cares, and he suffered willingly that we might have everlasting life. And even in this life, you know, he always said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, I am with you." He says that you never have to worry. Just trust him, because he will never go back on his word. Hallelujah. That's the assurance that we have. Whatever he promised, he will do for us. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come to you again, Lord. You said, "Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you." Your love continues, Father, even when we're going through good times and bad times, Lord. Your love continues to hold us. And we're looking forward, oh God, for even the future, Lord, the things that you have in store for us. Your word is telling us, oh God, they're glorious, they're strong, they're able, and you will keep us until the end. I thank you for the word today. Thank you for the assurance that we have that is already inherited. It's been inherited, oh God, for us. And we know we can't lose our inheritance. We give you thanks, oh God, and we ask you, Lord, to take us through this week. There are many trials that we have to face. We pray that we'll face them knowing that you told us if we trust in you with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, you will direct our path. And so we thank you for it. Dismiss us now, Lord, but keep us, Father, focused on you, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.